Welcome to Making a Difference, episode 35, COVID-19, Red Alert for America. Hi, I'm Eric Crossley. Welcome to our latest episode, our last episode for November of 2020, and what has been a difficult month and a difficult year for the country because of the COVID-19 pandemic and a bunch of other things that have happened. But we wanted to say, first of all, well, we will get into information on that. I did want to say our weekly thank you, first of all, to Dayron Arias, my producer down in Florida, and also my partner here in Baltimore, Charm City, Senior Social, who you'll hear more from soon. Making a Difference, this is episode 35. I wanted to also say thank you to Apple Podcasts, Google Plus, Anchor, SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, Pocket Casts, Podcast Addict, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter, and anywhere else you're listening. Thanks so much. Before we get to the latest on what's been happening, unfortunately, with the COVID-19 situation here in the United States and elsewhere, I did want to mention, first of all, this is not the final vote, but we did have a more recent number. Of course, we know Joe Biden won the election, and we discussed that over the last several episodes. The final vote count as of now, November 29th, shows Joe Biden actually with 80,117,000 votes, Trump with 73,923,000. A difference in the popular vote. Now Joe Biden won by over 6 million votes, 6,194,000. And again, the electoral vote has not changed. We talked about that in the last three episodes, 306 to 232, the same Trump won by back in 16. I did want to mention again, the states that have flipped for President-elect Biden and for Kamala Harris, our new vice president-elect, are the states that flipped from 16 for Biden were Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Arizona. So congratulations again to President-elect Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris. We have to say it over and over because we talk so much about all the negativity with Donald Trump in the past 4 years, and we have to have some hope. Now we're going to turn the page and look at what our main story is in this episode, and that is what's been happening with COVID-19 in the United States and how November has been a very difficult month. We're going to start with this clip from NBC's Meet the Press. This is Dr. Fauci on there, and this is from actually today, November 29th. So let's listen to Dr. Fauci on Meet the Press.
Surpassed 4 million on Saturday. That's double, more than double what we saw in October. What are we staring at in December, considering I guess Halloween was part of this early surge in November. What should we expect in December, sir?
Well, if you look at the slope of that curve that led to the numbers that you just mentioned, Chuck, we're going to be seeing as we go towards the end now and getting into December, we're seeing the surge with an inflection curve like this. The concern we had as we entered into the Thanksgiving holiday and as we're now coming out of the Thanksgiving holiday is that the travel and the people congregating at dinners that you'd expect, we try to get the word out for people, as difficult as it is to really not have large gatherings of people, family and friends, but try to keep it confined to the immediate household. But you know, people are not always going to do that. So what we expect, unfortunately, as we go for the next couple of weeks into December, that we might see a surge superimposed upon that surge that we're already in. And you know, and when I give that message, I don't want to frighten people, but except to say it is not too late at all for us to do something about this, because as we travel back, to be careful when we go back to where we are, to just continue to do the things that we've been talking about. An important issue, Chuck, is that we know when you mitigate with masks, with distance, with not having crowds or congregate settings, that those states that have done that, you can actually see that the inflection of their curve starts to do this.
Right.
So we know we can do something about it, particularly now as we get into the colder season and as we approach the Christmas holidays.
So Dr. Anthony Fauci, and that's his from NBC and Meet the Press, Dr. Fauci warned that Thanksgiving travel could make current COVID surges worse. And as he said, what we expect, unfortunately, as we go for the next couple of weeks into December, is we might see a surge superimposed on the surge we're already in. Now, Dr. Fauci is the government's leading infectious disease expert, and he warned about the travel-heavy Thanksgiving holiday, which could make the current surge in COVID-19 cases even worse as we head into December. And we just heard him on Meet the Press. Dr. Fauci said, try to get the word out to people that while you're traveling, while you're getting around, it's not as difficult as seems. Avoid large gatherings during the holiday due to concerns the celebrations could excalibrate the coronavirus spread. Now, he said, unfortunately, as we go to the next couple of weeks into December, we might see a surge superimposed on the surge we're already in. We'll stop right there for 1 second and just talk about that, because what that means is that a lot of people are tested for COVID-19. And a lot of, fortunately, a lot of people are able to right now get tested for that early. And the vaccines, as we've discussed over the past several shows, will be on their way. And in the next few months, we should have relief in the form of some different vaccines that we're going to be using. But right now, people have to be aware that what Dr. Fauci is saying is true. We're seeing numbers spiking. And I wanted to give you the numbers that I pulled up just by month in the United States of COVID-19 cases, people who have tested positive for COVID-19, before we go back to talking about Dr. Fauci. And that started with 186,200 back in March. It spiked up to 883,000 in April, nearly 2 million back in July. Then the numbers went down to 1.2 million in September, 1.94 million in October tested positive. So far in November in the United States, so far, again, keep in mind, tomorrow's November 30th. It's the last day of the month. We already have 3.8 million cases. Now, I heard tonight we've actually gone over 4 million positive cases in the United States in November. That is over double of what we had in October. So Dr. Fauci here is putting on another alert, telling us right now that people traveled for Thanksgiving. People were exposed to family members they hadn't seen, friends they hadn't seen. They didn't, a lot of people didn't do what they were supposed to do. And we're going to see that, the effect of that, within the next 2 weeks when people start testing positive, more people for COVID-19. Now, as Dr. Fauci said there, I don't want to frighten people, except to say it's not too late for all of us to do something about this. He urged Americans to be careful when they travel back home and upon arriving to take proven steps like social distancing, wearing masks. It can sometimes take 2 weeks for infected people to develop symptoms, and asymptomatic people can spread the virus without knowing they have it. So when Dr. Fauci said the dynamics of an outbreak show a 3 to 5 week lag between serious mitigation efforts and the actual curbing of infection rates. While the first wave of vaccinations could start in America within a matter of weeks, Dr. Fauci said that for now, we're going to have to make decisions as a nation, state, city, and family that we are in a very difficult time and we're going to have to do the kinds of restrictions of things we would have liked to have done, particularly in this holiday season, because we're entering into what's really a precarious situation. COVID-19 cases and deaths in the U.S. have been accelerating in recent weeks. There have been more than 4 million cases, as I said, and 35,000 deaths attributed to the virus in the month of November. Overall, America has had 13.3 million cases and over 267,000 people have lost their lives from the virus, according to an NBC News analysis. Despite a mid-November warning from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention encouraging Americans not to travel during Thanksgiving, air travel broke pandemic records with 6.8 million people traveling through airports in the 7 days ahead of the holiday. The already accelerating caseload, combined with the potential for another surge of cases, comes as hospitals across the country are sounding the alarm about overloading the system's capacity. Let's pause there and talk about that. What that means, we already have states, rural states out in the Midwest, like South Dakota and North Dakota, places like Nebraska, where their hospitals are already full. They don't have room for someone who has COVID-19 and needs to come in and get emergency treatment. They don't have room for someone who has a heart attack and needs to come in and get emergency treatment. I'm sorry, but this is a very unbelievable thing. We have to look at hospitals throughout the country, and we have to be very careful moving ahead. So the question is going to be, according to Dr. Fauci, he said that he's concerned about the nation's hospitals, noting that he received calls last night, Saturday night, the 28th of November, from colleagues across the country pleading for advice amid the significant stresses on the hospital and healthcare delivery systems. While he explicitly said he was not calling for a national lockdown, Dr. Fauci said at the local level, Americans could blunt the surge's effects on the hospital system by taking mitigation steps short of locking down, so we do not precipitate the necessity of locking down. And, you know, the surge in cases comes amid promising news about a coronavirus vaccine, with both public health officials and the federal government planning to begin the first wave of vaccinations in December. Fauci said that while the exact recommendations for scheduling groups to receive vaccinations have not been finalized, healthcare workers are going to be among the first, and also among other people who work in nursing homes and hospitals. And that's moving forward. And if we thank Dr. Fauci for all of the information he's given us. Keep in mind that Dr. Fauci was a person who was attacked by this president time and time again during this election. This is a man who led the fight against HIV/AIDS back in the 80s and 90s, as I've discussed before, into the 2000s. And now he's leading the charge on COVID-19. So we're going to go ahead now and talk a little bit about an article from Sarah Kaplan. She comes to us from the Washington Post. And leading into this article, just to tell you a little bit about what she's talking about, we're looking at really a lot of different crises in this country. We had over 4 million people test positive in November. We have 330 million people in the United States. That means that over 1% of the population of the United States tested positive for COVID-19 in November of 2020, this month. That's not a red alert. I don't know what is. Now, Sarah Kaplan gives us from the Washington Post, at a rural health system in Wisconsin, officials and medical experts began drawing up protocols for the once unthinkable practice of deciding which patients should get care. The chief quality officer of a major New York hospital network double and triple checked his system's stockpile of emergency equipment, grimly recalling the last time he had to count how many ventilators he had left. In Arizona, a battle-weary doctor watched in horror as people flooded airports and flocked to stores for Black Friday sales, knowing it was only going to be a matter of time before some of them wound up in the emergency room. Days after millions of Americans ignored health guidance to avoid travel and large Thanksgiving gatherings, it's still too soon to tell how many people became infected with the coronavirus over the course of the holiday weekend. But as travelers head home to communities already hit hard by the disease, hospitals and health officials across the country are bracing for what scientist Dave O'Connor called, quote, as I said before, a surge on top of a surge. It's painful to watch, said O'Connor, a virologist at the University of Wisconsin at Madison. Like seeing two trains in the distance and knowing they're about to crash, but you can't do anything about it. Millions continue to travel ahead of Thanksgiving, despite warnings from the CDC. Americans crowded airports in the days leading up to Thanksgiving, and now they're crowding into airports going back. Because of the decisions and rationalizations people made to celebrate, the scientist added, we're in for a very dark December. The holiday, which is typically one of the busiest travel periods of the year, fell at a particularly dire time in the pandemic. Some 4 million Americans have been diagnosed with the coronavirus in November, as we said, twice the previous record, which was set in October. More than 2,000 people are dying every day. Let's pause it right there and talk about that. More than 2,000 people are dying every single day in the United States. Before, remember when we said back in the summertime, if we had 1,000 people dying a day in the United States, we were in red alert situation? So guess what, folks? That's the name of this episode, Red Alert. We're in a red alert situation in the United States right now. 2,000 people are dying every day. Despite that, over a million people passed through U.S. airports the day before Thanksgiving, the highest number of travelers seen since the start of the outbreak. Many states did not report new case counts over the holiday, and it typically takes about a week for official records to catch up after reporting delays, said Caitlin Rivers, an epidemiologist at Johns Hopkins University for Health Security. Super spreader events are the leading cause of coronavirus transmission in the United States. Here's what they entail and why they're so dangerous. This comes to us from the Washington Post again. But in 2 to 3 weeks, she expects a full national level. We're going to see those trends continue in new highs in case counts, in hospitalizations, and deaths. And before we go to break, we wanted to hear a clip from NBC from the Sunday Today Show with a little bit about talking about looking ahead and what we can expect. This is from, again, NBC News, Sunday Today, Today.
This morning, with Thanksgiving in the rearview mirror, millions of Americans are heading home, hitting the roads and the skies on what's expected to be the busiest travel day of the pandemic.
I definitely took precautions with the travel, keep distance and stuff like that.
TSA has processed more than 6 million travelers over the past week, signs that despite desperate warnings from health officials to stay at home, many Americans did not. Now, experts fear a wave of new infections could be on the way. The U.S. has topped 13 million COVID cases, 4 million alone in the month of November, more than double what we saw in October, causing more local leaders to crack down. In Los Angeles, where cases have quadrupled since spring, officials have issued a new stay-at-home order banning all public gatherings except religious services and protests, and limiting restaurants to delivery or takeout only. Further north in Santa Clara County, officials are blocking all contact sports for at least 3 weeks.
What we do or what we don't do starting today may mean a matter of life and death for many living in our county.
The ban impacts professional sports, including the San Francisco 49ers. In a statement, the team says it's working with the NFL and partners on operational plans and will share details once confirmed. It comes as Commissioner Roger Goodell banned all in-person team activities Monday and Tuesday, with the exception of scheduled games. Goodell cited rising cases nationwide and noted a number of players and staff celebrated the Thanksgiving holiday with out-of-town guests. The highly anticipated game between the Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers postponed twice as cases rise among Baltimore players. And now, big trouble for the Denver Broncos. Every quarterback on their roster ineligible to play in today's game after one quarterback tested positive.
We expect to have positive cases with, you know, over 10,000 people involved across 32 different sites and communities. It's almost impossible to not have positive cases, but we want to identify them as quickly as possible.
Now, Willie, for the many Americans who are just desperate from some sort of relief, there is hope on the horizon. According to a source familiar with the planning, the first doses of Pfizer's COVID vaccine have made their way to the United States. Now, separately, advisors for the CDC have called an emergency meeting for Tuesday to decide who would be the first to get any vaccine. Willie.
And thank you to NBC News for that that clip. And again, the what we're looking at here as far as the vaccine goes is it's going to be a step-by-step process, and it's going to take months and months for the vaccine to be out in the general public. So be aware of that. And we'll be right back. Welcome back to Making a Difference, episode 35. I'm Eric Crossley. COVID-19, red alert for America. We talked a lot in the first part of this segment, first segment of the show, about the overall numbers. And we wanted to mention again what we're looking at in December and January, looking ahead as we get into the colder months up here in the Northeast and throughout the Midwest and in the entire country, except for down in Florida, where Dayron is, where it's 80 degrees or whatever. But anyway, here in Maryland and other states, we've actually seen some leveling off because people have been following guidelines and wearing masks. And the problem is and the 6-foot social distancing and using some common sense. So our numbers have are still startling. But state by state, you have to look now at what is going on in every state and what are they going to do in those states when they hit the numbers, the percentages that some of these other states are hitting. So that's one thing that's really critical. But the other thing we have to keep in mind too, and we have to mention this on the shows because this has become, once again, the number one story, not that it wasn't before the election, but the election certainly took charge. But right now, what the numbers are in December and January are going to be quite critical. And the vaccine will take effect by this time next year. Hopefully, we'll be back to somewhat of a normal holiday season. The question is going to be now, what's going to happen in the upcoming holiday season? And what? How many people are going to be infected and test positive from the Thanksgiving Day travels, from the things they talked about on these reports? So we certainly will have an update on that next week, and we hope we don't see numbers spike too much, but we have to be very aware of that. Now, we did want to talk a little bit about overall the election results and try to give some good news again. And the latest, I love this story, by the way. This is so fantastic because we, again, positive news, the 49ers won today. And you know, they won their game against the Rams, beat them for the second time this year. So we're back on track. So that was exciting. But the recount of presidential ballots in Wisconsin, this comes from the Washington Post, by the way. The recount of presidential ballots in Wisconsin's two largest counties finished Sunday, today, reconfirming that President-elect Joe Biden defeated President Trump in the key swing state by more than 20,000 votes. After Milwaukee County completed its tally Friday and Dane County concluded its count today, there was little change in the final breakdown of the more than 800,000 ballots that had been cast in the two jurisdictions. As a result of the recount, Biden's lead over Trump in Wisconsin grew by 87 votes. Let's pause there for a second because we have to have some humor in what's been a very tough year. We won the election. The 49ers won today. You know, we're starting, hopefully we'll see the vaccines help us turn the corner on this. But President Trump, all the stuff that went on in Wisconsin, all the fraud and, you know, the cheating of votes that the President Trump kept saying and his supporters over and over and over, and they demanded these recounts in Wisconsin, and they got the recount in the two counties that they wanted to check, because those are the counties that Joe Biden won in by so much. And it turns out this recount gave Joe Biden and Kamala Harris an extra 87 votes. So not only did the not recount not give President Trump the 20,000 votes he needed to overturn the result in Wisconsin, or even 5,000 votes to make it look at least halfway like there was some kind of fraud going on, He gave 87 more votes to Joe Biden. Now, under Wisconsin law, Trump was required to foot the bill for the partial recount, meaning his campaign paid $3 million only to see Joe Biden's lead expand. The results of the Wisconsin recount cemented Trump's failure to alter the results of the November election in a series of states where he was falsely alleged there was widespread fraud and irregularities. Now, I'll pause here for 1 second. Let me just mention that I just saw a ruling from one of the many Republican judges in these states like Michigan and Wisconsin and Georgia and Arizona, where they're trying to sue and sue and sue for voter fraud, and nothing has happened. We talked before, it's the cleanest election in the history of the United States. And now in Wisconsin, he gave Joe Biden some more votes. And I wanted to thank, the Trump campaign, and they're suing, the state, and they have to pay $3 million for this recount. There was no basis for any recount in any of these states. And the last judge I saw was actually just recently appointed by President Trump. He was appointed by President Trump, and he came out and said in Michigan just yesterday, there's no basis for any of this. This is all bull. This is all BS. That's what the judge said. And he was appointed by President Trump. I love that. That is such fantastic news to have in what has been a difficult 2020, a difficult November. Now, again, the president's efforts to stop Michigan officials from certifying the vote there earlier this month ran aground. A hand recount of ballots in Georgia confirmed Biden's win in that state. Two new court decisions in Pennsylvania late last week rejected the Trump campaign's attempt to halt the vote count there, the latest in a series of forceful judicial opinions that have been tossed out, claims by the president and his allies around the country. On Monday, Arizona was the fifth of the six states where Trump has tried to upend the vote certification process to finalize its results. The Wisconsin Election Commission is scheduled to meet on Tuesday, at which time state law says the election results will be certified by the chairwoman of the six-member panel, who is a Democrat. The president and his legal advisors have said they still plan to fight in court in an attempt to prevent Wisconsin from moving forward. The three Republicans on the state's six-member election commission could seek to delay certification while the process unfolds. But the Wisconsin recount is not about finding mistakes in the count. It's about finding people who voted illegally. And that case will be brought after the recount is over on Monday or Tuesday, Trump wrote in a tweet Saturday. We have found many illegal votes. Stay tuned. But even if the campaign were to pull out a surprise courtroom win, which legal experts said is unlikely, it would do little to change the outcome of the White House race, which Joe Biden won with 306 electoral votes. The Electoral College will meet on December 14th to formalize his victory. Let's hear now, because I want to hear just a little clip that I think we're going to enjoy listening to. And we'll just play this. This comes to us from Kelly O'Donnell. And let's go hear what she had to say.
From his Virginia Gulf property, President Trump headed to the seclusion of Camp David today. His election transition becoming defiant acceptance.
Just so you, certainly I will. Certainly I will. And you know that.
Last night, making his first public commitment to move out of the White House after a Biden victory is finalized.
Because time isn't on our side.
Reality setting in to a point.
It's going to be a very hard thing to concede because we know there was massive fraud.
As the president played golf today, those unproven election claims suffered another court defeat. Still, he is more outwardly recognizing Biden will succeed him.
The Biden administration said, oh, that's okay, we'll get rid of America first. No, we don't want to get rid of America first. Don't let Joe Biden take credit for the vaccines. Don't let him take credit for the vaccines, because the vaccines were me.
Today, outside the White House, workers build the inaugural parade stand for President-elect Joe Biden, who made no comment today. Whether President Trump attends, still a question.
I mean, I know the answer. I'll be honest, I know the answer, but I just don't want to say it yet.
Today, President Trump urged his own supporters to drop plans for a boycott of Georgia's runoff races. He'll campaign there in Georgia next week to help two Republican senators trying to keep their seats and party control.
Okay, thank you from NBC and Kelly O'Donnell. So, President Trump, soon to be ex-President Trump, for the first time in that clip said the Biden administration. Keep in mind, he's been saying there's all this fraud, all this voter fraud, all this has been going on, and nothing has been proven, of course, and that he now acknowledges the Biden administration. And President Trump, soon to be ex-President Trump, because we have 52 days to go, said that he's not sure if he's going to attend the inauguration. And you know what I would say? We don't care if you attend it or not. Just be aware, now he's saying on January 20th, he will leave the Oval Office. You know what? I had it up on my Facebook page before. January 20th, if he didn't leave the Oval Office, we were going to drag him out of the Oval Office because he's not going to be in there anymore. So he's finally starting to acknowledge that. And the fun thing we're going to look forward to talking about a lot less is Donald Trump, of course, after January 20th. But we do want to give you an awareness that after January 20th, Donald Trump is no longer president of the United States. So he no longer has immunity that the president has, and he faces a lot of criminal charges, especially in New York State, but a lot of charges on federal counts, as we said before, and he can't pardon himself. So we're going to have so much fun. I want to thank you all for listening again. We'll keep you up to date and talk again next week with the latest numbers. Please stay safe, 6 feet apart, wear your masks. Use common sense, people. I know everybody who listens to this show is very intelligent, and you will use common sense, but we ask you to make sure to do that. We'll be back next week. And again, keep in mind, we are in a red alert situation. Use common sense and stay protected. We'll talk to you next week. I'm Eric Crossley with Making a Difference. Thanks for listening.